Thank you, Joe, and all the praise team. Appreciate that wonderful time of music and praising the Lord. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to praise the Lord for, and a good opportunity for us to join together in doing so. And now I have an opportunity to look into the Word of God. I'll ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and as we begin... I want to tell you about a man who he had broken down on the side of the road, and the place where he had broken down, there was a monastery that was close by there, and so he walked over there to see if he could get some help, and they were very friendly, very cordial, told him to come on in. They couldn't actually work on his car that day, but said he could spend the night, and then the next day he would be able to, so... that night he slept very well, but in the middle of the night he woke up to this just heavenly sound, and he really couldn't describe something he had never heard before. And so the next morning when he got up, as the monks were going out to work on his car, he mentioned that sound, and he said, man, what was that beautiful sound I heard that night? And he said, would I be able to go see the source of this awesome sound? And one of the monks was very kind to him, but said, I'm sorry, I can't show that to you because you're not a monk. And so he accepted that. They helped him get his car going. He was able to get on the road, get on back home. And a couple of years later, as he was traveling back through that area again, he happened to think about the time that he was there and that beautiful sound. And so he thought, you know, I'm just going to stop in and, you know, maybe things have changed, maybe they will actually be able to share that with me. So he stopped in. They welcomed him. And he told him about the good time he'd had there before. And he mentioned that beautiful sound that he had heard and asked again, you know, is there any way possible you would allow me to go back and to see the source of this sound? And once again, they were very friendly, but they said, I'm sorry, we can't show that to you because you're not a monk. And so, you know, he got to thinking about it, and it was just... eating him up on the inside. And so he said, you know what? What would it take for me to become a monk? And so they said, well, you're going to have to give up your life. You're going to have to, it's going to take 7 years of diligent study and preparation before you can ever become a monk. And so he phoned home and he quit his job and left everything behind and was there for 7 years until the day when he finally graduated to become a monk. And so after that, he went to the leader and he said, you know, I'd really like to go back and to see the sound, this beautiful heavenly sound. So he said, okay, I'll be glad to take you back. And so he goes, there's this huge wooden door. He pulls out this golden key, unlocks it, opens it up, goes in, there's another door. This time it's a silver door. He unlocks that door, goes through a series of seven doors until he finally gets back there. And when he opened up that door, the guy's eyes got so big. And you know what he saw? I can't tell you because you're not a monk. So here was this guy, and he had given up so much. He had sacrificed so much to become a monk, just so he could hear that sound, that heavenly sound. Have you ever thought about, once again, your sacrifice, the sacrifices that we make for the Lord? Now, once again, last time when I had the opportunity to speak, we talked about this, and we talked about a sacrifice of love. And once again, just by way of review, I want to kind of catch us up to speed. And really, as I was praying about this message, I knew I had some more that I wanted to cover. But really, what the Lord kept bringing back to me was, really, what does it look like? It's one thing to think about and to talk about and to explain the meaning of a sacrifice of love. But what does that look like in my life? And so that's kind of the approach that I want to take. There's going to be some review of what we've talked about from a little different standpoint, going into a little bit more, but then some other things that we haven't talked about as well. So I want to talk about a sacrifice of love. And as we do so, once again, we're going to talk about sacrifice for Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, and then finally the sacrifice by Christ. And so as we do so, this verse that I've asked you to turn to in 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about us as being priests. Have you ever thought about yourself as being a priest? A lot of times when you think about priests, perhaps you think about modern-day priests. Maybe you think about even in the Old Testament, the way the priests functioned in the Old Testament. But the Bible says that we, as believers, are a holy priesthood. 1 Peter 2:5 says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood." For what reason? "To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, on the authority of the Word of God, I can tell you, you are a priest. And what are we to do as priests but to offer up these spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable to God? Do you realize that you are, in fact, a priest and what that means? Have you thought about bringing spiritual sacrifices to Him? When you do that, how you do that, how do you choose what to bring and such as that? Spiritual sacrifices for Him. So what I'd like to think about, again, just by way of review, is to think about how do we choose what to bring to Him. And we discussed three principles that I want to review quickly because it's going to apply to what we're going to be talking about shortly, thinking about these three principles of how we choose what to bring to Him as a sacrifice. First of all, this principle of sacrifice involves first. And we cannot emphasize this enough. Sacrifice involves first. We could go all the way back to Cain and Abel in the very beginning when they were bringing their sacrifices, and Abel brought a sacrifice that God accepted, but when Cain brought his sacrifice, God rejected what Cain brought. It wasn't the right kind of sacrifice. But the one that Abel brought, he said he went out and he chose the firstlings of his flock. The first. That idea of being first. God is first in everything. Israel, when they were to bring their sacrifices of the first fruits, it said they had to bring the first of the first fruits they were to bring and offer to Him. God is first. So when we think about what we're going to choose as a sacrifice, we have to think about Him first. He has to be first in that choice. The Church of Ephesus had a lot of positive aspects to it. But listen to what is said in Revelation chapter 2 when he's writing to the churches in the beginning of Revelation. And he's writing to the church of Ephesus in chapter 2 of Revelation in verse 4. He says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your" what? "Your first love." You've left your first love. To have Him first. And as we think about making a sacrifice, you know, once again, we don't offer animal sacrifices like Abel had to bring a firstlings of his flock as a sacrifice. We don't do that because the Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself as that ultimate sacrifice, fulfilling all the types and the shadows of the Old Testament sacrifices. We don't bring those by law today. The sacrifices that we bring are the spiritual sacrifices, not because we are told to by law or that we have to, but rather a sacrifice of love. That's what I want to talk about. A sacrifice of love. And to put Him first, and even our love for Him has to be first. A sacrifice of love involves first, His portion first. The second principle that we think about is making and choosing a sacrifice is the sacrifice involves what is best. And once again, we looked at Malachi chapter 1 last time. When you remember, God is addressing the priests in the beginning there of the book of Malachi. And what He says to them in verse number 6, he told the priests that they had despised His name. And, you know, once again, we as believer priests in the New Testament, have you ever considered that something that you are either doing or not doing could be perceived by God when it comes to our role as bringing our spiritual sacrifices, that perhaps we could be despising His name and how we're doing that? And so it's important that we understand that we bring the best, because what they were doing as priests, when Malachi is writing and he's addressing these priests, when God is addressing what they have done, they were choosing all the wrong things as they brought their sacrifices. You remember what he said in verse number 8? He said, "And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord?" And so we know that we are to bring, not only to think about God first as we bring our sacrifice to Him, but that which is best is what He's worthy of. So we think about this principle of bringing Him our best. And let me ask you this. As you think about bringing your best, are we required by law to do that? No, we're not required by law to do that. We see it as a principle that this is what God wants us to do, but this is not talking about bringing sacrifices for law because we feel a burden to do so, but rather because out of love for Him, that's why we would want to do this. Out of love, we want to bring our first and our best. And then finally, also, that sacrificing involves cost. And once again, you remember we talked about David and how when David had sinned, there had to be, in numbering the people, that he had to build an altar and to make a sacrifice. And when he did that, there was a man who offered to give him what he needed, but he said, "No, I will not offer to the Lord anything that which costs me nothing." There has to be a cost involved. If it's going to be a sacrifice, there has to be a cost involved. As I think about the spiritual sacrifices that I bring to Him, is there a cost involved? Or do I take the easy route sometimes and do very little, or that which really doesn't cost me much at all, as we think about our spiritual sacrifices that we bring to Him? So for what am I willing to sacrifice? If we were to honestly look at our lives, we could probably think about things that we don't really realize, but when we stop to think about it, these are types of things that we are willing to make sacrifices for. It could be things like our job, or it could be a hobby, it could be a sport, it could be having fun or experiencing pleasure. It could be a habit. It could be financial prosperity, social acceptance. It could be for another person. Whatever it is, we can look at our own lives and we can see things by these principles. What comes first in my life? What am I willing to say really is that I'm willing to give my best to? And also, what am I willing to spend? What am I willing to give as a cost toward something? Or invest that kind of time into? What am I willing to give sacrifices to? If we're going to give a loving sacrifice to Him, these are the principles that we must keep in mind. It involves our best, it involves Him first, and involves a cost. So let's apply that to some of the spiritual sacrifices that we can bring according to what we read about in the Scripture. First of all, our praise and worship. We read in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15, it says, "Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name." Stop and think about it for a minute. Do you realize that what we just did a few moments ago was an opportunity as a priest to bring an offering to Him? Did you realize that? When we were singing those songs together, that was an opportunity. Now, we could be sitting here and the singing could be going on, but in my heart, I might not be offering anything to the Lord. Or I might not be offering Him my best or my first. Or I not be willing that it's going to cost me something because my attention is drawn elsewhere. I know myself, I've been guilty sometimes of sitting in the back and talking sometimes while the praise and worship songs are going on. Not realizing that I'm missing an opportunity as a priest to be offering a spiritual sacrifice to Him. I would encourage you, as you think about that each time when we come together, and that's not the only times when we do it. There are many times when we can offer those sacrifices, not just here at 11 o'clock, but even at home by ourselves. We could be in the car, turn on the Christian radio, we hear these words and these songs of praise and worship. And that's opportunities that we can function as priests, offering Him these sacrifices. A couple examples I thought of. I remember listening to a tape by Peter Pell. And he would actually incorporate that in his own time with the Lord, is not just his time in the Word when he would get up early in the morning, but he would actually sing. He would sing out loud as he could. All by himself, he would sing to the Lord. A time of worship. He was offering a spiritual sacrifice of praise to the Lord in those situations. I think of our brother Dick Andrews. Boy, he liked to praise, didn't he? He was a great, we have great song leaders now, and he was a great song leader when he was here. And we miss that brother. I remember him clapping his hands when he would lead the singing. He could just he could just really bring out that sacrifice of praise as we would sing together. So do you consider your time of offering praise to Him as an opportunity as a priest to bring Him a sacrifice and to offer your best and to put Him first in it as we sing, and that the cost is involved and we do that out of love for Him? Next, as we think about another New Testament way that we can offer a spiritual sacrifice, is financial gifts. The scripture talks about that in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, "For indeed I have all and abound, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things," and when he's talking about these things, he's really talking about a financial gift that had been shared from the believers at Philippi to support Paul as he was spreading the gospel. But he goes on to say that it was sent from you, a sweet-smelling savor, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Who is the recipient of this gift? Paul was. But when they gave the sacrifice of this gift, even though Paul was the recipient, they were really given to God. And he said it was a sacrifice that was well-pleasing to God. Do you view your opportunity to give financially as an opportunity to function as a priest and to offer to God a spiritual sacrifice that is acceptable to Him? And once again, what are the principles of offering that sacrifice? Him first. Him first in my finances when I'm thinking about giving to Him. Not last to see what's left over, but Him first. I want to give Him my best. And it's that which cost me something to give to Him. And when we think about giving, not just giving in the local church, but maybe giving to individuals or giving to missions and things of that nature. As an example, how does this look in my life if I'm going to be a priest offering these kind of sacrifices to Him? One example I thought of in the scripture was, remember the situation where the Lord Jesus was watching and He saw rich men giving at the temple, and then He also saw a poor widow putting in two mites. And you remember what He said as He looked at that widow, He saw that she was giving a lot more than what the rich men were giving, not because of the amount, because of what she had left. And He commended her for that. And so when we think about our offerings to Him, Him first, offering Him our best out of love, that which cost me something. There's also another spiritual sacrifice to think about, and that is sharing with others. And in Hebrews 13, verse 16, he says, "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Have you noticed that a lot of these references of us as spiritual priests, as New Testament priests bringing these spiritual sacrifices, many times he says God is well pleased when we bring those to him. And I know that's got to touch a nerve in every one of us who know Jesus as our Savior, because that's what we want to do. We want to please him. We want to bring things to him, offer sacrifices that are well-pleasing to him. And our sharing is one way that we can do that. And what are some different ways that we can share? It could be material possessions. It could be reaching out to somebody here and providing hospitality. Maybe it's a visitor. You've never met him before. Hey, how would you like to come over? That's a way that we can do good and share with others. It could be ministry to prisoners or to the elderly or to the needy. There's many ways. There's an endless ways that we can offer these sacrifices to him of doing good and sharing. Have you noticed something about all of these sacrifices, though? In all of these sacrifices that we're looking at, it involves giving. It involves giving. Many times as we think about ourselves, we like to receive. We want to receive. It's what I can get. But here, these sacrifices that are well-pleasing to him involve giving. And this involves sharing. Sharing with others. Giving of ourselves with others. And I think about the story about the Good Samaritan. And you remember how the priest, the Levite, walked right on past this man who had been beaten and left half dead and robbed. And here comes this Samaritan, and it takes time, doesn't it? It takes time to stop and to help and to reach out, to meet a need, to give financially to this one who was injured so that his needs could be met. It takes time out of our schedule sometimes to do that, and that's a spiritual sacrifice. Sometimes it costs to do good and to share with others. And it should, if it's the sacrifice that we want to bring that is acceptable to him. What are some other of these sacrifices we can think about? And that is our bodies as a sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Have you ever considered your body as being something that as a priest you can present to him as a sacrifice? As a sacrifice to him. That's what this scripture is talking about. I'll have to say, this is tough. When you stop to think about the different areas that is affected by our bodies and how our tendency is to be very selfish with our bodies, I think. At least that's my tendency. Maybe you can relate to that. But to think, if I give my body to him, can you imagine all the changes that will take place? And how I treat my body, how I use my body, the emphasis that I put on my body. All of these areas can be affected as we think about giving ourselves. Paul, when in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he talked about disciplining his body to keep it under control, lest that when he had preached to others, he himself would be a castaway. And so there's many other examples. Paul was willing to endure beatings and such as that in his body for the sake of Christ. Sometimes there is a cost to our bodies if we offer it to him as a sacrifice. We don't know what that cost might be sometimes. It might be cost us the loss of sleep because we're wanting to minister, wanting to serve, to meet the needs of someone, and so on. Another area that we can talk about is giving him the sacrifice of our faith. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 17 says, "Yes, if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and the service of your faith." The sacrifice and the service of your faith. And true faith is going to result in sacrificial service. It will every time. Are you serving? And if you are, what are you doing for him? Sometimes you ever gotten involved in an area of ministry And when you first started, you had zeal, you had enthusiasm. But as time goes on, it becomes a little bit more of just a work and a thing that you have to do, or a responsibility. And maybe your heart's not in it like it once was. But here, as we think about offering it to Him, that sacrificial service of our faith to Him, to offer Him our best at great cost sometimes of time, of energy, and of effort, and so on, our faith. And then to look at a broken spirit as a sacrifice to Him. In Psalm 51 and verse 17, you remember this was a situation when David had fallen into sin, and he was confronted. And when he was confronted, he repented. And you can read through this whole psalm, and you can see the brokenness that David expresses before the Lord. And to think of what he says in verse 16 and 17, he says, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." So stop and think about it for a minute. How would this look in my life to offer to Him a broken spirit as a spiritual sacrifice? We might look at our lives and maybe there are secret sins. Maybe there are besetting sins that we deal with. Maybe are those, have you ever thought about those acceptable sins? Maybe things that aren't really looked down on much by others, but nonetheless, deep down, we know that we have allowed this sin in our life. Maybe it's a sin that we have kind of made peace with. We fought it for so long, and we finally give up, and we've almost made peace with it. This is going to be a part of my life. This is who I am. Can we see how being broken before the Lord over these sins would be a spiritual sacrifice? Because that brokenness would lead to what? Would lead to repentance, would lead to restoration, would lead to a closer fellowship with Him, a brokenness over sin. I remember that story about the tax collector and the Pharisee that went into the temple to pray. And you remember how that tax collector, when he prayed, he said, "God, be merciful to me." He didn't say a sinner. He said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." It was almost as though he was so taken up and so broken over his sinfulness before a holy God, it was though nobody else were a sinner but me. That's brokenness over sin. Maybe you have made peace in your life with some sin. Maybe it's time that we go before the Lord and say, "This, it's time to make a sacrifice to Him as a priest, to get on my knees, to cry out in brokenness over whatever it might be, and to say, I want to give Him first. I want to give Him my best." It's going to cost, it's going to hurt when we give Him those areas of our lives as well. But to offer to Him as a sacrifice. And then we can think about our prayers as offering up as a sacrifice to Him. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "And when He had taken up the scroll, the four and living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." And to think about how that incense was offered before the Lord. Have you ever thought about your prayer as being something that would be an offering as a priest to the Lord? Sometimes we just think about prayer and we respect those who really have a good prayer life. But have you ever thought about yourself? Have I ever thought about me? And to think about my prayer life as a reflection as a priest on this spiritual sacrifice that I can offer to Him, acceptable to Him. Here's where it hurts, because it has to be Him first. There has to be a cost involved. We have to give Him our best time in prayer. You know, we think about private prayer. We think about corporate prayer. Have you ever thought about, as coming to our corporate time of prayer, as an opportunity for you as a priest and for me as a priest to join together and to offer up a spiritual sacrifice to God on behalf of His work and His people? That's what it is. It's an opportunity. That's an opportunity for us to serve as a priest. You know, you think about these golden bowls full of the incense and the prayers of the saints. This is what I thought of when I read that. I wonder if there was a bowl with my name on it. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? I wonder if there was a bowl with my name on it. Would there be a sacrifice that God could accept in that bowl? Prayers is a sacrifice to Him. Another one is that a life poured out for Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 through 8, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." A life poured out for Christ. You know, Paul was there at the end of his life, and he could say that, and he knew he had poured out his life for Christ when he got after he got saved. Maybe we don't know that we are there right now. But is there evidence in my life right now that when I get there, I'll be able to say that? That my life is being poured out as a sacrifice for Him, to bring glory to Him. I thought of one example I thought of was Hudson Taylor. I remember reading the story of Hudson Taylor and teaching it to kids, and the passion that he had when he got saved. He grew up in a Christian home, but he never got saved. He was an older teen, and when he gave his life to Christ, he just wanted to serve the Lord. The Lord put on his heart to go to China, and he went to China, and I remember reading one. This is what he prayed one time. He said, "If I had 1,000 lives, I would give them all to China." And then he said, "No, not to China. To Christ." That's a life poured out. Is your life being poured out, not for the things of this life, but the things of Christ for eternity? Sure, we have public jobs, we have responsibilities, we have homes, we have families, but we can be in the middle of all those things and still pouring out our life for Christ, right in the middle of all those things. As a priest, this is our offering. This is our sacrifice to bring to Him. What will motivate us in bringing these gifts to Him? Once again, as we think about it, these are gifts that we want to offer to the Lord. Bringing our gifts to Him, sacrifices to Him. One of the things I believe will be a motivation for this is to think about another sacrifice. And this is a different sacrifice. This is a sacrifice. When we think about the sacrifices that we're talking about as priests, it's the creature giving to the Creator. It's the smaller giving to the one who's worthy. As we think about this sacrifice, the sacrifice of Christ, this is the God of the universe giving His Son for the likes of us. That's an incredible thought, isn't it? God offering His Son as a sacrifice for you and for me and for our sin. I hope that we had had time to turn to Genesis chapter 22. I'm not going to ask you to turn there now. But in Genesis 22, a beautiful picture of God offering His Son as a sacrifice, because Abraham was told to take his son Isaac and to take him up on the mountain to offer him there as a burnt offering. And all the way through the passage, and I would encourage you to sit down and read it, all the way through the passage, two things you cannot miss when you read that passage. First of all, the emphasis on the father-son relationship between Isaac and Abraham all the way through. Father, my son. My father, my son. My only son. Take your only son, Isaac, the one that you love, and take him up on the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. Over and over that comes through. And the idea of not only the father-son relationship, but then the constant reminder, the reason that they were going was for a sacrifice. All the way through that passage. Sacrifice. Burnt offering. All the things that were needed for it. All the way through. And that's a picture of God giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Why would we as believer priests want to offer to God all of these spiritual sacrifices? Is it because the law requires it? No. It's because we choose to out of love. Our brother Jack talked about this verse in the earlier meeting. We love Him, why? Because He first loved us. How did He first love us? By giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. What do we learn as we look at God giving His Son as a sacrifice? What do we learn? Is God gave that which was dearest to His heart. Not only am I needing of that sacrifice, because without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we could not be saved, but as we look at the example that God Himself set in offering a sacrifice, He gave that which is dearest to His heart. So I ask you, what is dearest to your heart? I'm not asking what should be dearest or what is the right answer to what is dearest. As you honestly look at your life, what is dearest to your heart? Is that something that you would be willing to say, Lord, it's yours. I give it to you as a sacrifice. The sacrifice of Christ. We can also think then finally about sacrifice by Christ. And I'm going to have to go through this rather quickly because the sacrifice by Christ, and that is, this is, we're talking about the same offering. We're talking about the offering of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But now we're thinking about Him doing it. We're talking about Christ giving Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. Philippians chapter 2, you can read that. Maybe you're already familiar with it. Here it talks about how Christ humbled Himself. He was equal with God. And He humbled Himself, and He became a man, and He became a man to taste death for every one of us. Christ gave Himself to be a sacrifice for our sins. All the way through, I had so many scriptures I wish I had time to share with you that talks about Christ giving Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And in John chapter 10, in verses 15 through 18, here Jesus says over and over, I lay down my life. When He turned to Peter, He asked Peter, He said, Peter, will you lay down your life for me? Peter said, yeah, I'll die for you. But He said, no, you're going to deny me three times. But I believe He's asking us the same question. Will you lay down your life for me? That's what Christ did as a sacrifice. He laid down His life as a sacrifice to save sinners like you and like me. What is my response to that? Just as we sang just a little while ago, our response at the cross is to bow down and to surrender and to say, Lord, take my life for yourself and for your glory. A sacrifice of love. Isaac Watts said this. He wrote this song that we're very familiar with. The title of the song is called When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on which the Lord of Glory died. The last verse, let me just narrow it down to the last verse. He says this, Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. May we offer to Him spiritual sacrifices, not because we have to, but because we choose to, out of love for Him. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You as we have looked into this subject of being a priest. We're amazed, Father, that You would look down on sinners like us and that You would offer that which was dearest to Your own heart, Your beloved Son, the one in whom You are well pleased, that You would offer Him as a sacrifice to save a sinner like me. Lord, I pray that there's one here today that's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. May they be moved by the great love that You have demonstrated on the cross by giving Your Son, by Christ giving Himself as a sacrifice. Father, we, as Your people and as priests, may we love You the way that You loved us. May we lay down our lives for You. May we offer You these spiritual sacrifices out of a deep, deep love and appreciation for You and for what You've done for us, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.